I look high, I look low, I'm looking everywhere I go, looking for a home in the heart of the country.
For close to 30 years, I've lived a few blocks away from a mystery location, a large complex of buildings surrounded by fences. Now, I, along with many of my neighbors, have no idea what goes on in there, and I've sometimes heard it referred to as the Area 51 of the North. But thanks to a recent open house, I got the chance to tour the Natural Resources Research Institute in Coleraine, which is located along Highway 169, about 6 miles east of Grand Rapids. Now, there were no spaceships or alien bodies to discover. Instead, I discovered that something equally interesting was housed here: innovation and research that could help determine the economic future of Minnesota. After I toured the facility with about a half a dozen other interested community members, I talked with Jane Brenneman.
Well, my job is External Affairs Manager at the Natural Resources Research Institute. We are a nationally unique research organization. There are other organizations that do bits and pieces of the things that we do, but what makes it really unique is that we are very comprehensive and integrated in how we do our applied research. So we're associated with the University of Minnesota. We are a very important part of the whole research enterprise at the University of Minnesota. We're situated in Duluth, our primary facility. Here in Coleraine is our minerals processing and our biomass conversion facilities, where we can really scale up things that we're working on the lab scale. And scaling up with new innovations is what is a challenge. Whenever you scale up a new innovation, you run into road bumps that have to be ironed out. And so any industry person will tell you that when they're trying to make changes to their processes, it's scaling up that is important. Our research facility here in Coleraine, we were formed to really help Iron Range Industries be more efficient with process efficiencies, help them be more effective. And here's what I think is really exciting: plan for the future. So we know that the magnetite ores are going to be mined out in some decades to come. How are we going to make taconite pellets if we're working with hematite ores? Well, we developed a process so that we can make taconite pellets out of hematite ores and not use the magnetic process that's used today. We're looking at other mining opportunities, ilmenite deposits. How can we process those, get the impurities out of the ilmenite so that that can be made into titanium, high quality, high grade material? Manganese is a critical mineral that has a lot of potential. What else do we have that can, should be mined? And our role, I want to be very clear about this, is not to say whether a mining operation should happen or shouldn't happen. What we do is provide data and understanding of the resource so that decision makers can make those decisions. This is an open house. We're doing this with the Grand Rapids Area Chamber of Commerce. They're helping us host this and open to the public. We just want to bring people in. A lot of people drive by these facilities and are really scratching their head. What goes on in there? Well, we're really very friendly and we have a lot of fun. The research is very innovative, and so this is just a chance to show the public what's going on here.
I also learned one of the reasons for some of the secrecy.
We often have clients, too. We work with industries that are doing some really amazing innovations that they don't want everyone to know about yet.
Sure.
So we have some proprietary things happening here. And it's busy, and it's also, the machinery is dangerous, so there's a lot of safety protocols.
Tell me a little about the facility in Duluth.
Yes, so our facility in Duluth is in the old Sage building. So I don't know if people remember the semi-automatic ground environment that called Sage. During the Cold War, it was a huge, solid, concrete building that held a computer and a backup computer. But anyway, it's a recycled building. Now it's our research facility. We have research, and this is what makes the Natural Resources Research Institute so unique, is that we have a really integrated approach to applied research with using our natural resources, but then also understanding the impacts on the environment. So we have a strong environmental team: biologists, ecologists, limnologists, ornithologists, entomologists, paleolimnologists, just to name a few, who can really look at water quality and changes in the environment, wildlife. We have an amazing ornithology team that studies birds as indicators of changes in forest health. We've had a biologist who was really important part of the moose research teams, bat research, understanding, you know, how white nose syndrome is going to affect our bat populations. And also then biomass, bioeconomy. We really think that biomass is going to be an important feedstock for new materials that are non-plastic, that are biodegradable. We're looking at turning lignins of trees into a plastic material. We're looking at adding taconite tailings to it. We're looking at finding different binders and things that can strengthen these materials. So we have some really amazing innovations coming down the pike.
You're listening to Close to Home on Northern Community Radio, and I'm at an open house tour of the Natural Resources Research Institute in Coleraine. And next, I talked with the person who led the tour.
Hi, my name's Kevin Kangas. I'm the director of NRI's Coleraine Labs. And tonight we had our Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce Business After Hours event, attended by several people from the community, members of the chamber, and provided them an overview of NRI and a chance to see our innovative research facility here where we do minerals processing, metallurgy, and biomass conversion applied research.
So tell me a little about the site.
Yeah, our campus is 27 acres, and we have 15 buildings. This is the former U.S. Steel Research and Development Facility, and so it served for many years as part of U.S. Steel's organization. It was also where they did maintenance on their locomotives. And so we have rail that goes into a lot of our buildings and actually set the stage for some important capabilities that we have, because we have large buildings with high roofs that facilitate the use of mobile cranes so we can move heavy equipment around and set up different mineral processing flow sheets. That's really an important capability that we have here on site. So it's not quite a well-kept secret anymore, because we're having open houses, and that's one of the reasons we do it, because as I like to say, this doesn't need to be Area 51 of the North anymore. I grew up very close to here, and it's been fun to be part of this organization and to be a little more open and able to talk about what we do, while keeping, you know, obviously our interest in terms of confidentiality with our clients, very much part of our core values as well. But we can explain to this this region and this area in general the type of work we do and the impact that we're having on innovations in these important natural resource-based industries. This, along with our Duluth campus, is really a strong asset for the state of Minnesota.
So how many people do you employ here?
We're currently staffed up to 30 employees. That breaks down to about 7 research scientists and engineers, 18 laboratory technicians, and 5 support staff.
As with anything like this, I always have a question about how it's funded.
Yeah, in terms of the way we're structured here funding-wise, we do obviously receive some money from the state of Minnesota and through the University of Minnesota on an allocation basis, and does break down, you know, roughly that 75% privately funded, I think, is about where we're at, the rest being publicly funded. The type of clients that we serve in this business, it really is a variety. On the mineral side, if you can think of and name any steel company, we're working with them. If you can think of any iron oxide producer in the world, we're working with them. So it runs the gamut. We work with, on the biomass conversion side of our business, we work with a lot of interesting companies you've probably never heard of. But then you've probably heard of several as well. And what I didn't appreciate before I came to work here a few years ago is that we work with a lot of chemical companies as well. And so that kind of isn't always known, but it's an important aspect of what we do, because there are aspects of what goes on in these mineral and biomass or forest products-based industries that involve the use of chemicals. And innovative use of those chemicals for process improvements and efficiencies is an important aspect of what we do in helping foster those developments. Really, a lot of great people that work for the Institute. Obviously, I'm proud to be a part of this community and this organization. We have I think a depth and breadth of talent within this organization that is second to none. And we're an important part of the community. We're a large employer, and we actually do a lot of commerce here locally. And I've been looking at those numbers, and I think that would turn some heads for people to understand the magnitude of the amount of money that we put back into the community right here in the Grand Rapids, Coleraine area. The purchasing that we need to do to support the research. So I think we're an important part of the efforts to innovate and get to the future of mining and whatever that will entail. I think that's an important aspect of what we do. We're here for the long haul and obviously focused on the next 20 to 30 years of innovations that will continue to sustain, you know, the quality of life that we have and balancing the job growth with the environment and wise use of natural resources. And I think that's first and foremost what comes to mind when people ask about, what impact do we have? Well, that's it. And I think that's what we're here to do for the state of Minnesota.
I study nuclear science. I love my classes. I got a crazy teacher. He wears dark glasses. Things are going great, and they're only getting better.
For Northern Community Radio, I'm Grant Frazier, and this is Close to Home.
Good grades, the future's so bright. I gotta wear shades.